This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 28th of January, 1954. The title of this lecture is Exteriorization, Courage and Serenity. This lecture is 59 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
January the 28th, 1954. Your understanding of this subject should have materially increased. Let's take pre-clear and take a look at him communication-wise. What do we find? We find a whole bunch of ridges and masses of energy which lack a proper form, but which are composed of communication segments. I don't care if there's 8 billion million yards of communication line, or which direction it travels, it's composed of segments. These segments always go from C to E. You can take any Western Union telegraph line, you can take any telephone line, you can take anything you want that's a communication line and cut a section out of it, and you'll find out that it has a C and it has an E. Unless it's a two-way conversation line, at which time the C's and E's will reverse, but you still have the same graph. So let's take a look at what this pre-clear has been trying to do. He started out as a thing to be cause, got into a body and became an effect. Therefore, his early lines are all causative. His later lines are all effect. The curve of the universe is from create to destroy. That parallels communication line from cause to effect, with create there in the same position as cause, and destroy in the same position as effect, with effect in the same position as destroy, and with cause in the same position as create. In the middle of the communication line, you have the persistence of the message. All right. Let's take a look then, find out that this tremendous bundle of connecting links and so forth, communication lines, were originally a very simple purpose, and that was simply cause to create an effect. Significance? Yeah, cause to create an effect. A very significant cause to create an effect. No further. Not to create an effect because of, or into, or on the other side of, or to invert the rudal paddles of. No significance here at all. It's just cause to create an effect. Then we got a classification, good and bad. And this classification, to some degree, was monitored by this. Control consists of the ability to start, change, and stop at the effect point. So communication was essentially duplication. The fellow started and changed and stopped at the cause point in order to get the effect at the effect point of starting, changing, and stopping. Military people are always going around saying, he who had learned to command must first learn to obey. That's what they're always saying. In other words, you've got to be both ends of the communication line. If they said, he who had learn to command had first better learn to obey himself, why, it would make good sense. Because most of the people you find commanding can't obey themselves, and they expect everybody else to obey them, but they can't obey themselves, but they don't put anything there to duplicate, so you can't duplicate it. So if you try to duplicate it, why, you can't. It's just a mess. The army. Anyway, cause to effect. So therefore, we find duplication in communication, both in the same bin. Well, communication, when travels as a particle, of course, meets resistance of one kind or another, and the duplications are not as perfect as they might be. Therefore, you get a jam on this line. There's always a jam on a comm line. I don't care how slight it is, there's some error, some friction, some inability to make a complete duplication. And so you get imperfection in the communication line, cause to effect. The effort to get the communication through brings about an obsession to control at E. You see, because the thing is impeded, why then they try to control it at E. See, who cares up to that moment? They find out then that there's a resistance in the line. So they'd better overcome the resistance one way or the other. Well, this is control. The definition of control is overcoming the resistance of. That's a definition of control. Okay, it's all right if there were just one line involved here. If you just had a thetan connected to a body, for instance, and when the thetan said jump, the body jumped. But that isn't what happens. The thetan says jump. He's at a finite point. He isn't buttered all over the bank. He's at a finite point. And he says jump, and it runs a little distance and says can't jump. And it plows through that somehow or another, and it goes to another one and says jumping is like horses. And then it goes through another calm jump, and it says one can't be a horse. And then it goes through another calm jump parallel to that. You've still got the original message, some sense in it, and you'll say jumping is ungentlemanly, so therefore horses are not gentlemen. And it goes through another one, and it gets round and round and curls through the bank one way or the other. It keeps hitting these resistances. Because essentially what? You're controlling your body through a consecutive series of energy deposits which were laid there every time you did not complete a cycle of control. When a cycle of control was not completed, an energy deposit had a tendency to be left in suspension. The thetan, quite normally, puts in these things consecutive with the meshed universe time element. Most people's commands are going into the bank at the assumption. First command, first effort to control. Runs through the bank from the conception straight on up through the various multiple incidents of existence, each one of them filtering and altering the communication somewhat, and finally arrives in some sort of a state of control. This becomes very interesting when you regard the engram and when you regard valences. The command which the individual, who is now, let us say, 20 years of age, puts into the bank as a thetan, is put into the bank, if he's not in good shape ordinarily, is put into the bank at the assumption point. You see, in other words, the command starts in at assumption and filters all the way through the comm lines, each time being monitored by the experience of the individual as represented by those times when his control of the body was balked. These communication lines go in and out to the degree that they're re-stimulated. We get a tremendously mechanical picture here, so mechanical that it could be drawn with electrical symbols. Here you have these facsimiles, and these communication lines that the thetan is using are going on through all the facsimiles which are in re-stimulation. When it hits a facsimile where Papa won, the communication goes over and is monitored by winning Miss Papa. When it was a banister but won, the communication goes through the banister. It goes through Papa, the banister, his tonsillectomy, is any incident which is in suspense, you see, is a re-stimulation. And you mock up this communication line, and you'll see that it is traveling in the most peculiar paths and going through the most peculiar command deposits. And when it comes out at the other end, Lord knows what's going to happen. Well, the thetan gets apathetic about this after a while, and he just sort of pours it in and wonders what's going to come out. He says so and so and so and so, and the body has to be very closely watched because something else is liable to happen. He starts to say cat, and the body says cat. Tries to say dog. And so he's just a police force, and he pours his commands in through the bank, and then he jumps to the effect point to see that they're carried out. Cute. It's the most balled-up communication system you ever want to see. Now, there is an old technique in one of the earlier SOPs called ridge running. This is an interesting technique to examine. not so therapeutic, but its examination is terrific. You get the preclear to say walk, tell the body to walk, and you have him observe very closely what the body's doing. If there's any little line that turns white, that's what you want to know. You want him to look and see if there's a little line there that turns white someplace. Well, he normally will find one. And it runs for a moment or two, or sometimes a minute, white, while he's pouring the command walk at the body. And then all of a sudden it goes black, and he says, what happened to that? So you say, well, all right. Now, have the body sort of say to you, can't walk. And be alert for what's going on, and all of a sudden he says, you know, he says, there's another line coming white, only it's traveling in the opposite direction. So it travels white for a little while, and then it goes black. Now you say, feed the body the command, walk again. And this time the line is shorter, but there's a new line goes white. And it runs white for a little while, and then you say to him, it turns black, and then you say to him, now what command goes back against that? And he'll think for a moment, and he'll say, it's got to jump. All right, you say, all right, the body's flowing back at you, the statement, you got to jump. Well, yeah, he says, it goes white again. And that runs out and goes black. And then we run the command, walk at the body again. And it goes through for a little while and turns black. Now we've got to find the next abutment through which this command has to filter. In other words, the command, walk, goes through ridge after ridge after ridge after ridge after ridge after ridge, and each one is an objection. Each one's a resistance to walking. So the Thetan very well might say to the body, walk. And then, well, I don't know, there's not much reason to walk, let's take the car. He didn't have any intentions of this, but this is the final conclusion he feels he must have arrived at. Well, what made him arrive at this conclusion? Well, a lot of data. No, a lot of ridges. Because all of those objections sum up to can't walk. You can take a cripple and run this technique and very often produce a fantastic change in his case. Because every time the individual walked and it was a miscommand, that is to say, he said walk and the body walked and ran into a brick wall. He said walk and the body walked and fell down. Every time the individual gave it a command which came out badly, you got something on the line which impeded the command. So the communication system in this case is a very complex affair, which is only complex the way it looks. You see, you could draw this tremendously complex communication system, wires in all directions, injections in all directions, thinking machines set up and monitor posts and somatics and enforcements, and boy, you could just draw this up in all directions, the just most complex thing you ever wanted to look at. But what it had all boiled down to is C to E. Now he's trying to get a command from C to E, and any part of that line, as I was saying there, you could take C to E, is this that one command, now walk, and it runs white. Well, it's working as long as it's running white there, you see. Now, however, when we get to E, the E has received the command, all right, walk, but it restimulates at E. Instead of a duplication of the command to get through the relay system, it hits something that it can't go through, and so we get the reaction, can't walk. Now, that's the first mess up on the line, and we have the E point backfiring on the command line. So we're getting a communication which has become a conversation. Now, if you've ever had anything to do with a company of men or a maid, and you have tried to order these people or this person to do something, you've quite often found that it degenerated. Instead of an easy operation, which you were trying to do, it degenerated into a conversation. What you're doing is hitting a ridge, another person. Well, I don't quite understand why. Well, I really can't do that. Shoot these camp people in an organization. Just take them out and stand them up in front of a firing squad and get off and get something done. Because what they are is practically solid backlash. See, their bank is so solidly backlashing that every time you or they try to put a command into the bank, it's just a backfire. That's all. Just the impulse of a command going in causes and motivates their behavior. Well, what's their behavior? They say, walk. Well, let's all go dancing. They tell themselves, walk down to the corner. And this immediately comes up as, I guess I'll have a Coke. Just doesn't have anything, no sequitur. But yet there is a sequitur situation. It's going through multiple experiences and being redefined at each experience ridge. Now, the individual never got into trouble about this until he thought he had to resist something in order to command it. He immediately degenerated into energy. The moment he got into energy to command something, there he went. See, he got into the energy flows, and then he could get backfired at. As soon as he started saying walk and then paid some attention to why it wasn't walking instead of just walking it, and as soon as he decided that it should behave in a certain fashion without his doing any more about it, he's tried to set up some sort of an automatic motivation machinery or an automatic operation machinery or an automatic moving machine, see, to which he can say walk and then it walks. Well, of course, this works for a very short time, and then this automaticity starts to break down and get into this silly communication setup that you see in a bank. Well, now, I don't care how complex this bank is. It breaks down to this essential, that C to E must be a clean channel, at least somewhere. But the whole bank is composed of C's to E's. Now, how much can you bypass? You have ever heard somebody trying to train somebody who has already been trained on a subject? You have a picnic. Let's take a yeoman. He comes off the USS Missouri. I think they got her off the mud banks. The yeoman has just come off the Missouri, and he has just joined a destroyer. And a destroyer has a great deal of different type paperwork. The yeoman probably handled the captain's fingernail pairings report of on the Missouri, and all of a sudden he has to handle muster rolls and all sorts of things. Well, the first thing he'll tell the fellow that he's his officer or his petty officer on the destroyer is, we didn't do it that way on the Missouri. The Navy, if it ever loses a ship, it's lost on that motto, is we didn't do it that way in the Bureau. We didn't do it that way on the Texas. We didn't do it that way. You see, they don't have a sufficiently simple communication system so that it duplicates easily. And as a result, why, they're, every time you give somebody an order, well, they didn't do it that way on the Chester. The fellow's got a 3-inch gun, same 3-inch gun as he handled on something else, and it's a small gun, and you'd be surprised how many ways there are to handle one piece of equipment about that gun. So the whole Navy gets to be a sort of a backfire organization. The peacetime Navy, you come in and you snap a command at somebody, and he's very snappy about snapping at you, but he doesn't go anyplace. He stands there, and all of a sudden we've got this damned ridge situation going into effect. I don't know how organizations of that type ever manage to control a ship. But finally, a commanding officer will have that crew in line enough so that the majority of the crew is going in some variation of CDE, and eventually why people coming aboard have to fall in line. Also, very often, the entire routine of the ship gets altered just because somebody new reported aboard. Well, what you've got there is essentially the communication setup of a pre-clear. He makes a postulate. Lord knows what happens to it. It sails down through all these ridges, hits these automaticities, which were set up to do things automatically, And here it goes, and it winds down through the lines, and it becomes redefined. Well, what's it winding through? I call this to your attention again. It's winding through facsimiles and engrams. The motto of all facsimiles and engrams is that you go into them light, you might say, and come out dense. It goes from a sort of a no-density situation to a total-density situation. If you ask somebody to get the idea of starting something, he's liable to get a three-dimensional visio. If you give him the idea of finishing something, he's liable to get a two-dimensional visio. Well, this is anatomy of a sort, and this anatomy is easily plotted. And it works over into the electronic structure of the body. And the electronic structure of the body is a system of anchor points which are located around. And the thetan puts impulses in the vicinity of these anchor points and moves the anchor points. And these move what you see when you look at a body. It's a very simple system. Anchor points are gold balls. They get black and the individual eventually can't see them at all. They get out of place, and then you ask the fellow to exteriorize, and he's trying to exteriorize out of warp space. Space isn't right. He's all mixed up. Why? Because he's all dug in on these ridges and automaticities. Well, there are solvents that'll start through this line and go through this line and wind up at the other end, having plowed the line out. Auditing itself, done on this ridge running basis, we'll plow the line out. Not a very good process because it's tremendously limited, but done the way that it was written up in the SOP there, it will occasionally exteriorize somebody who's rather tough to exteriorize. Well, all you're doing there is trying to get the fellow to get a straight communication. You see that? He's got the bank set up automatically to a point where every time he puts out a little energy, or any time he stirs up some energy, or any time he makes a postulate, it kicks something in. And then this something runs up against a ridge. So you say to the fellow, be 3 feet back of your head. He just waits to be 3 feet back of his head. Waits to be 3 feet back of his head. He's never going to arrive 3 feet back of his head unless you want to take it from this angle. Let's hypnotize him. Let's make him a thetan into a total automaticity. Let's give him narcosynthesis and knock him out cold so that he's total effect. And then let's move him around at will. The only trouble with that is you might exteriorize him, you can make him sick, and the moment he wakes up, he'll interiorize him. And he's just a little worse off than he was before. That's all that's wrong with that system. Well, it adds up to the fact that you occasionally, with a pre-clear, have to start plowing these lines out one way or the other. And your auditing deals with various certainties. And there's two philosophies here you can choose from. One is let's plow through the lines. And the other one is, let's get him to completely neglect the lines. Two philosophies. Let's plow through the lines, let's get him to neglect the lines. One of them is handling energy, so therefore is a junior technique. But it's quite effective. HC, with three places where you're not, three people you are not, has a very interesting effect upon the individual in making him, to a large degree, drop the lines. But this is not the direction the pre-clear normally goes. The direction he goes is through the lines. So he keeps expecting something to happen, something to happen, something to happen. He sits there and he waits for something to boot him out, a pressure beam to unfold, or anything to happen. When you've, to some degree, neglected the lines, you can build up his postulates. to a point where he's just all of a sudden says, what do you know, I have to do it. And when he realized that he has to do it to be any place, well, the guy's in pretty good shape. Right there, he's in pretty good shape. And the other one is, let's push him up to the point where when he starts hitting these deposits of energy, why, he finds he can go through the lines simply because he's plowed down an awful lot of the ridges. Now, there is a solvent, it's called courage. It plows through these lines because it's the resistance sort of an idea. It's always courage against something. If your pre-clear runs courage, he will hit at and come close to this. He will start plowing through the engrams of the bank through which his communication lines are going. So he will go into two states, tend to go into two states. And one of these is fear, and the other's pain. Of course, it goes into pain and comes out there as fear. You get a dispersal effect. Because his courage is to keep him from being afraid. So you get a second manifestation when you start doing this. Of control. Now let's get back to what I was saying first there. So what's this control? All right, this control is an interesting thing. But control requires a continuous, in such a crazy cat arrangement of a communication system, requires a continual suppression of error. So your pre-clear is as bad off as he's trying to suppress error. And you run courage for a little while, and you will start to turn up with him the uncontrolled motions which he's trying to suppress. Well, now here's good auditing. Pre-clear feels like it's going to fly apart. You just keep putting it into the bank. Now, theoretically, you can just go on having him mock up courage and put it into the bank, and he'll come out the other end. But he may feel like he's just about to fly apart at the hinges. Well, the reason why is you have entered the line, and here you go through the communication lines, and you've re-stimulated fear. And of course, this has gone hand in glove with inability to control, and an awful lot of misdirected actions have been re-stimulated, which he has always been trying to suppress. Well, one of the ways to do it is to get him to mock up crazy motions. When he feels he's about to fly apart, get him to mock up crazy motions. Get his body flopping all over the place and, mock up. The body flopping all over the place and lying flat on its back and popping over onto its face and flipping all over, uncontrolled. Or other unmanageable conditions, such as a body which will not move no matter how many postulates you throw at it, which is, of course, an apathy ridge. That's catatonic schizophrenia. The manifestation shows right up on the ridge. Well, you can run this courage just so far, and then we'll run into possibly some sort of suppressed crazy motions or errors of one kind or another. Physical motion, you understand. Control merely consists of start, change, and stop. And he can't start, change, and stop this thing at will. He said, be calm, and it flopped all over the place. You'd be surprised in handling an individual how much pressure he will take off of his body if you run this process. You run courage and serenity, brackets or some other fashion for a little while, and you interlard it, of course, with some holding the back ends of the room and looking through walls and so forth. But suddenly he begins to quiver. He feels a little nervous and so forth. If you were to that time to have him mock the idea up or get the idea of his body flopping all around, uncontrollable, you know, just flopping around in various directions and shuddering and dropping dead and doing other strange things, you would be surprised the amount of pressure which comes off the case. Now, what do I mean by pressure? I mean just that physical force pressure by which he is trying to hold that body still. And as long as the fellow thinks he has to hold the body still, he doesn't dare step away from it. If he steps away from it, he's afraid all sorts of weird things are going to occur. See that? So you would jump in there then with this and that, on body flopping around and so on. Well, he tells you this has come right up to the point now, he said, where it's that operation. I just know it's that I just am about to fly to a million pieces. That's terrible. And so, well, you say, get the idea of yourself in a doctor's office or an operating room, flopping off the table and your body suddenly inexplicably getting down and begging for mercy and jumping out the window and dying right on the spot and all these strange things happening. I just get the idea of your body doing that. First thing you know, a tremendous amount of pressure comes off of the body. Pressure, just that. Well, how early does this occur in running this particle courage and its upper particle serenity? Well, it occurs fairly rapidly. In an awful lot of cases that aren't able to exteriorize, it doesn't occur rapidly at all on somebody who exteriorizes well, because he's not going through such a sequence of communication lines. There's no reason for you to send him through them. He exteriorized easily, so you just don't use this process until he's way away from the body, and then you just have him mock up lots of courage and the particle of nobility and so forth. And by the way, there's a very cute little process which is really much more important to you than the one I'm giving you now, is you have the fellow mock up force particles way out in space someplace. You mock up lots of force particles and then have him flip over and feel courageous against them. You know, as though they're somebody else's force particles. And then having be the force particles making people resist and feeling courageous about the force particles. They're his force particles, you see. You just get him to flip back and forth and being this processing, in other words. Well, if you mock up very much serenity around a preclear or courage, it will get down to fear right away. Now, this tells you something about human behavior. If you mock up, while exteriorized, over the head of some Homo sapiens, an enormous amount of serenity, you'll probably drive him into a rather frantic state. That's odd, isn't it? In other words, people get frantic and fearful around serene people. So, of course, nobody wants you to be very serene, because if you were too serene, you'd key him in. So they got to feed you bad news, keep you upset. Otherwise, Homo sapiens is a cute little trick. All right. Serenity is unbearable. Courage is unbearable. Just the exhibition of courage to a sadist actually will drive him into a gibbering fit. He's got to do anything rather than see some courage in front of him. The fellow's terrified. That's the trouble with him. Now, running your preclear, you will find it very difficult with a great many cases to make them let go. Let go of what? Let go of the body. They know what it'll do if they let go of it. It'll flop all over the place and jump through the roof and get down and beg and run out in the street and tear all its clothes off. They know what it'll do. There's only one thing wrong with that. They're holding on to both ends of the communication lines. If they weren't keeping these communication lines suppressed, the communication line wouldn't be alive. And so we get back to validation. blittiness processing. The fellow is continually bringing to life a communication line which throws him out of control by trying to be courageous and serene in the face of it. And so we get the dwindling spiral. The individual has walked around for years being courageous about life. Well, let's just take this process of courage processing and take a look at it now. Keep this fellow mocking up courage, and all of a sudden he gets afraid. And he's going to flop all over the place. He's afraid he's going to jump through the window or do something strange or peculiar. You see? Well, now let's take that manifestation and stretch it out over 20 years. This fellow walks around being serene and courageous in the face of everything for 20 years and winds up at the end of it shaking with terror. About what? Nothing. Except what he's holding right there. Now, time, you see, is the co-motion of particles. And his effort to keep particles apart, which are coming together, and his effort to keep particles together that are coming apart, holds time in suspension. And this is the mechanism of holding somebody in the past. This funny thing we see there about somebody being stuck on the time track, which is just these efforts to keep bodies from flopping around and going berserk. And so the fellow is hung up in time, and if you could get him to present time, in other words, just let go of the whole package, he would exteriorize with great ease. You could just get him to let go. Well, this is a method of letting go. It catalyzes the inevitable dwindling spiral. His courage processing catalyzes the inevitable dwindling spiral of a human being. Now you've taken a look at it. You've seen this thing happen without any explanation from me. So it does happen, doesn't it? So this must be somewhat like the anatomy of the bank. This must be somewhere near close to what is. So, if you're going to speed up this process, then you'd better stand by with creative processing and other processes, which you know, in order to knock out the stuff as fast as it shows up and then mock up some more courage. What are you getting there? You're getting essentially ridge running. Courage goes down the communication line, melts away the barriers, and all of a sudden, it would, of course, just go right on through and melt away the next fear barrier, too. But all of a sudden it just becomes impossible for the preacher to restrain himself another instant. You know, he's getting this terrifically tense feeling. Well, that's just ridge running. That's the kickback. The ridge he's trying to control tells him he's going to flop all over the place, or he's going to go straight up through the roof, or he's going to explode. Early on the track, they're suppressing tremendous explosions. But the explosion isn't there anymore. Those mess particles still exist. But those mess particles have now gone into other types of matter or other spaces. What he's got's a picture of the particles, those particles which he mocked up to control the mess particles. And he's still holding on to the particles which control the explosion, but the explosion isn't there anymore. You think you will get an explosion just because you suddenly let him to let go of these particles which were to control the explosion? No, you won't get an explosion. He feels kind of silly after this has been processed because there wasn't any explosion there to hold. And there he's hitting the ridges. And those ridges were constructed, various patterns, to hold down things like explosions and so forth. Well, if it gets too unbearable with a pre-clear, do it with creative processing. And if he can't get down to creative processing, why just make him flop around for a while, out of control? Now remember that you're dealing with physical effort. The thoughts connected with it are not important. The significances of it are not important. All you're trying to do is to get him to let go of some of these masses of particles. Well, he's holding particles there which once upon a time were trying to suppress other particles. He's holding a facsimile of the massed universe. where he, at the one last moment of duress or something of the sort, was trying to prevent Miss Universe particles from opening or closing. And when he prevents this, he uses a particle of his own mock-up. He uses particles which he himself mocks up. He's still got them. He's still going through this pattern. Still an incomplete cycle of action of some sort or another, which he's holding in suspense. The reason cycle of action works is because every one of these effect lines finally wound up with complete motionlessness and absenceness, which was death. And that's this universe. So you can catalyze the entire bank in this fashion. Now you're drunk. Drinks to be courageous in the face of life. How long do you think it'll last? Under a very caved-in physical condition, one which is saturated with alcohol, his bank is being poured full of courage, and is terrifically susceptible that bank is. And then, of course, the stuff wears off, and he is twice as terrified as before, and so he goes down in a very fast spiral. Now, why do your pre-clears occasionally react to your calmness with regard to their case so badly? Well, it's very easy. You just pour in the lines full, that's all. You've already seen on this EAR 400 that one human being can actually input energy into another body. See, it doesn't matter. A body is a body. Anybody can put energy into a body. And so you stand there being very serene, you sit there being very serene, you sit there being very calm, and their reaction is, well, that's all right for you to be calm, it's me that's coming to pieces. Of course, you're the guy that's doing it. Now, if you avoid this manifestation, you will avoid an understanding of life. And that understanding is that serenity and courage are... they're not bad, you understand. They're a solvent particle. And it just starts knocking to pieces. That's why a person gets courageous, you see. He thinks if he could get sufficiently courageous, why, he'd just knock out all past blocks he has toward a certain action. And it's true. If he could mock up enough courage, why, he'd just blow the bank. Did you ever get a moment when you suddenly got your nerve up about something, and then, boom, you did something tremendous? What you probably did was blow the bank, and afterwards you just felt wonderful, and you said, well, look at that, it's accomplishment that did it. It wasn't accomplishment that did it, it's a tremendous amount of courage which you suddenly got in one piece. And through the bank it went, you didn't know your own strength, and all that sort of thing. Well, where you get an individual holding on in fear that the body will fly out of control, you had certainly better pay some attention to courage and serenity. And then stand right ready with some creative processing to get to let the body flop around or suddenly drop dead or become naked in public or do something, you know, weird and peculiar. And if you limit this to the body and if you don't start shooting out on the whole track pretty well, why, you can generally exteriorize the fellow after you run this for a little while. It's an easy method of exteriorization. He is afraid he will not be able to control the body if he gets outside of it. This is the same statement as he's afraid the body's going to flop all around and do peculiar things and run off and leave him, and he's never going to be able to get control of it again. And this is the same thing as those ridges which his commands are being opposed by, which are dictating uncontrollable motion to the body, which are saying can't walk, going to go through the roof. So, to let an individual slack off and let go of his body little by little is good auditing and is good exteriorization procedure. Now, these people who turn on coals are doing something which should be very, very easy to understand. Possibly not to them, but very easy to understand. They have confronted sound too much, too often, and they have backed up from their own nasal canals and lungs away from people who are confronting them. They've just backed up, you see. Leaving themselves out of communication and unable to give sufficient life to the nasal passages so that bacteria and any particles of any kind can come in and just irritate the devil out of it. Here you have back old 880 get into communication with those parts of the body. Here you have, when you put an individual on one of these probe meters in here, you put this individual on this, and you find out most of his body's dead. It doesn't respond, no beep. Well, that individual isn't pouring energy to those parts of the body where you don't get a beep. Simple. All right. After you've worked him for a while, those parts of his body become alive. And he's well to the degree that he can make these things live. Now, when you start running this type of processing, remember that you may be reducing the individual's havingness. You're actually putting into solution a heck of a amount of energy which he thinks he has to have. Well, it doesn't matter what the significance in that energy is. He has to have this energy. And this havingness represents time because it consists of particles being held apart and pulled together. And that is time. And therefore, his havingness is liable to be upset by this process. So you stand ready to get him to mock up acceptable faces or something of the sort to bring his havingness up a little bit. You don't have to pay too much attention to that. Just don't let his morale drop out of sight. Because courage is actually putting into solution masses of energy which he's holding on to. And energy masses are masses. So having this processing and an understanding of that would come in while running this process. You will find after you've had somebody mock up courage for a short time that something strange is liable to happen to their kidneys, for instance. You know, all of a sudden they've got pain. Got pain there in their kidneys. They don't feel good. Well, how about just having them put some more kidneys in there? Mock up an acceptable variety of kidney and stuff it in the area. Mock up lots of them, stuff them in the area. See how you do that? Lots of kidneys. So they turn on a cold. Give them lots of faces. Acceptable faces. And have them receive and throw away faces until that cold knocks off. It's very strange to have a cold, or anybody, very many people with colds, in a unit. This came out because havingness was too reduced, and then you went into another process which further reduced havingness. But it's very strange that this would continue very long for the good reason that it's too easy to remedy. It's very easy to remedy. An auditor should be able to remedy it on himself. It doesn't require an auditor, you know, to restore your havingness. The next time you want something, the auditor's not going to go to the store with you. If you will just continue to mock up noses and faces and kidneys or wherever you've got this horrible pain that's turned on after the session, so what, just throw a few in there. You'll find out the pain will stop. Forget about it. Now, every time you start to run a pre-clear on this process, of course, you're liable to throw into restimulation quite a few things. Past deaths and all sorts of things. So therefore, the process is to some degree a limited process, and it should only be run so long as is necessary to enable the pre-clear to exteriorize. That's all you're trying to do with him. You're just trying to get him to exteriorize. All right. Where else does this go? What else happens here? What's the mechanic involved? Well, the mechanic involved for the operating thetan is anytime he starts to throw clouds of serenity around Homo sapiens starts drinking up that serenity just like a sponge. Therefore, an operating thetan who is operating with a great deal of energy masses in the vicinity of bodies in air is liable to be snapped in himself. if he is still associating himself with some particle known as serenity. Now you'll find all up and down the track this interesting thing in your preclear. He touched a body and in he went. He was going along, he was feeling very serene about the whole thing, and in he went. He got a little bit angry at the body, which let him get into some kind of a wavelength with it. But his serenity level was so much higher, his courage level was so much higher than the body's, and he himself was carrying around unwittingly so much courage and serenity in terms of particles that the second he touched that body, made the connection, the body simply drank it all up, and in he went. And this is the interesting manifestation of interiorization. Well, that's the way he went in, so that might as well be the way he comes out. You can test this up on a meter, and you can work this on preclears, and you'll find out this is all too true. You were going along being very serene. Maybe you just patted a body on the head after a while, and you felt bad. Why'd you feel bad? Well, any serenity or courage particles which you had in the vicinity simply went into the body. Boom. Well, the trouble is not with courage or serenity. The trouble is that you didn't mock up enough of it and didn't create enough of it and didn't replace enough of it when it was taken away. And that's about it. The hood operation that you run into in pre-clears, whereby they feel like they've got this big mass of energy sitting up there like a dunce cap. We call it the dunce cap. Got a big mass of energy. They start throwing courage above their body and putting it up there, and the first thing you know, they've sort of sensed that there's some kind of a cap that's sitting over their head, maybe as much as 25 feet long. Well, what do you suppose that's composed of? That's where the courage went out and left effort. And they're still sitting there in this mass of stuff. Now, when this person exteriorizes, they get to feeling good, and they come back in the vicinity of the body, and when they get into the vicinity of the body, any feeling goodness that they have, of course, is slurped back into the body again, because the body is just that hungry. I ran an interesting experiment last night. I had a darn good theta clear, practically an almost, well, operating thing, close up there. Go down to a bar down here in Phoenix, and just start throwing clouds of serenity around the guy. And clouds and clouds and clouds and clouds and clouds of serenity. Boy, that guy got thirstier for that drink than you could possibly account. Boy, he had to have a drink, that's all. Oh, brother. He also got real lonesome. He had talked to somebody. All that was happening to this person was just the clouds of serenity were being mocked up around his head. In they were going, in they were going, in they were going. Of course, it ran him on down to fear. Now, I don't know what will happen to this Homo sapiens, but I would not say that he was worse off for having had some serenity in his vicinity. Now, there's something else which you knew. This business of sound and staying on the wavelength of sound so that you can hear people is itself restimulative about bodies. Sound, rough stuff. Merely because out in space, the only time you ever had a sound was when there's a big explosion, because there was nothing as a carrier except electrical particles. So it meant there had to be a large number of electrical particles present before you got that manifestation sound as a thetan. Well, you get a thetan down here and you on the surface of Earth, and you tell him mock up a beam and it'll go maybe 5 feet, 10 feet, 15 feet. Then you get him to see colors. You see everything gold, see everything blue, see everything pink, until he gets the idea of shifting off and shifting his wavelength. Now you tell him shift off the wavelength of air and throw a beam out there. He can throw one out there just like he can in space. It'll connect with the body. It'll connect with almost anything he wants to connect with. It's just off the wavelength of air, that's all. And so he can manufacture an awful lot of energy. So this manifestation of air as an impedance, an invisible barrier which inhibits you from putting out energy, simply depends upon the fact that you are messed up on the subject of on the wavelength of air. You're stuck on the wavelength of air because you're stuck on the wavelength of sound. See that? So if you could coax an individual to mock up his serenity off the wavelength of air, it'd operate an awful lot faster. There are drills whereby you get an operating thetan to do this, and these drills are simply see everything gold, see everything green, see everything blue, until you've shifted his wavelength around to a point where he can shift his wavelength with great ease. Also, you take an operating thetan, you interiorize him and exteriorize him from heavy masses until he gets all over this idea of having to have mass. And these two techniques are very necessary in the operation and in handling data clears to bring them on up the line. But this connects with mocking up serenity in the face of sound is itself a fascinating process. Well, you better clean up these people that have these colds, because that's real easy to clean up. And you clean them up with havingness, clean them up with courage in the face of sound and face of symbols and so on. A cold is a kind of a franticness. It is. It's just franticness. It hasn't anything to do with bacteria or virus or anything of the sort. It's people frantic in the face of sound, that's all. They cough in order to get the sound back out, to stop the communications that are hitting them consistently and continually. And these people are out of communication with their lungs and face to some degree. Thus we get colds. Cleaned up by having this. Okay, you know how to work this process now? You know how to work this process? Terrifically simple. Mock up the courage until you get the fear. Realize that's no control. Run the no control by creative processing. Go back to running courage. You'll find each time you do this, the individual's hold of the body is lessened and slackened. And they finally exteriorize him. Then you take an operating thetan. You carefully demonstrate this to him with regard to bodies. That's your SOP80. You demonstrate what happens when he mocks up courage, when he mocks up serenity in the face of bodies. He'll suddenly get so used to the manifestation it'll no longer be a mystery to him. It doesn't become a great unknown. And he'll realize what he's doing to people. And he knows then that he ought to shift his emotional band down to covert hate in order to get on the level with the body. If he's going to knock one around, why, let him hit it on its own level. And then knock the hell out of it. But you go around and try to be serene and benign around bodies, right? He's going to get chewed up. Okay.